The Gospel Lesson from Luke. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you were invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lower place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your sisters or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Well, I don't know about you, but having heard the gospel lesson this morning, I'm not so sure I want to invite Jesus over for Sunday supper. And I'm not too sure I want to be invited with Jesus for Sunday supper either. I mean, if you've been asked what three people you'd most like to share a meal with, and you say Jesus, Abraham Lincoln, and Beyonce, and if I'm old Abe, or if I'm Bay, she told me it was okay to call her that. And I've read what happens when Jesus shows up to the dinner party. Well, then I'm going to be very reluctant to RSVP yes. Jesus has been invited to the home of a Pharisee for a Sabbath supper. It's the blue-blooded wine and cheese salad forks on the outside, main course forks on the inside kind of occasion. These are the movers and the shakers, the shakers and the movers. It's the kind of crowd who know how to rub elbows with the rich and do deals over dinner and discuss the palate and shade of a high-dollar port over dessert. Will Willimon says these are Episcopalians. You could call them Americans. Of a certain vintage and station and socioeconomic status, maybe mine. Jesus watches them come in and he notices the way they all jockey for the same seats of honor at the table. And he actually has the audacity to tell them they're making fools of themselves the way they're all elbowing and acting like a litter of pups over a bowl of Alpo. Now, I know there must be some consideration to seating assignments. There's a whole chapter on seating in my 1969 copy of Emily Post's Etiquette, which my great-grandmother, Moki Reichert, gave to me when I was 10 years old, and of which I read about as much as you could expect a Lovett boy would read. On pages 167 to 170, there's a chapter titled "The Seating Your Guests, The Order of Table Precedence," which begins with the following. The lady of highest rank is on the host's right. The lady of next highest rank is on his left. The third lady sits on the right of the man of the highest rank who is on the hostess's right. The fourth lady is on the left of the man of the second rank who is on the hostess's left, and so on. See diagram. Wow. And that's only the first part of the first paragraph of the first section of the whole chapter, which goes on to include diagram after diagram of seating arrangements for dinner parties of varying sizes from 6 all the way up to 8 and 12 and even 24. And Jesus says to those at the dinner table, "Do not presume to try to take for yourselves the seat of honor, because eventually the host is going to tell you where it is that you are to sit. And some will be moved up and some will be moved down, and all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves, well, they're going to be exalted. I don't think Jesus is endorsing the way these seats are assigned. He's not calling it good. He's just saying, hey, this is the way that the world works. This is how these things go. This is the risk you run when you want to run in these kinds of circles. Like Greek rush on a college campus, everybody gets all decked out and dolled up, and then they're told where they can and cannot sit. I say I don't think Jesus endorses the way this dinner party is arranged. That's actually an understatement. Actually, what Jesus does is double down with a critique of the whole affair. Luke tells us Jesus says to the one who had invited him, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, why do you invite all your friends or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or your rich neighbors just so they will invite you in return? Why not drop out of this rat race altogether and do something really exciting and radical? I know. How about when you give a banquet, instead of inviting these kinds of folks, you instead invite the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind? Sure, the neighbors will talk about you. And you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Do you see what Jesus is doing here? He's not just giving out good advice about how to have nice manners at a nice party. Table manners never really mattered much to Jesus. Remember when he got into all that trouble when he and his disciples didn't wash their hands before having dinner? That was before COVID. And on another occasion, at another dinner party, he was invited to. Jesus broke all etiquette when he showed up at the house with an uninvited guest at his side. And she, we are told, had a reputation as being a quote-unquote sinner in the city. And Jesus let her wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair right there at the dinner table with everybody else squirming in their seats. So no, this is not about manners. And it's not about etiquette. It's not about seats of honor and proper places of precedence, but it is about hospitality. I think it's about God's hospitality. I think it's about the kind of extraordinary hospitality God gives to us in this world and asks us to give each other as mutually honored guests in it. See, the truth is, there is really no single quote unquote guest of honor at the table of God. We're all honored guests. And no one person is any more important than any other. And I think what Jesus is saying is that we need to do something really, really radical. Something completely, socially unsensible. To free ourselves from the tyranny of these invitation lists and seating charts where somebody's always in and somebody's always out and I'm always better and always less than somebody else. Free yourself from that kind of thinking, Jesus says. Throw out the seating chart. Forget the guest list. Leave the door wide open. Quit playing the elbow rubbing game. Choose instead to open a place at your table for people who won't necessarily take you higher up the social ladder, but who will most assuredly bring you deeper into the heart of God. God is an incredibly gracious host. And God has made an extraordinarily hospitable place for us in creation. And God asks us to make an extraordinarily hospitable place for one another as well. So then, oh, how it must break God's heart the way some of us are offering such an extraordinarily inhospitable and even hostile place to so many in this country instead. It must break God's heart how we invite, whom we let in, and who we say has to get out. Breaks God's heart, and it should trouble our conscience. It should trouble our conscience any time we read words like the ones we read in the epistle this morning. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without even knowing it. Those words and these two, when I was hungry, you fed me. And when I was a stranger, you welcomed me. We fed some hungry strangers here on Monday night, together as a church. 10 men who stayed with us in our room in the inn program. 2 gracious hosts spent the night with these men, and Matt Ferguson made brisket for them. Slow cooked, tender, and delicious brisket. And I heard it myself when one of the men eating around the table said to me, "I ain't got one tooth, not a one, but this I can chew." And Jesus tells us that right after the scripture we read earlier, while still at the dinner table, Jesus told a parable about a host who invited so many to a great, great supper, but most declined to come because they didn't think there was anything in it worth coming for them. So Jesus said they missed out on one heck of a meal. Tender, tender brisket. And also the kingdom of God. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without even knowing it. And some have even entertained Christ. And some have had a much, much better dinner with the blind and the lame and the halt and the toothless than those who have fooled themselves into thinking they have it all together. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted, and dessert will be served to everyone. And you can eat it with any fork you please. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, mother of us all, and together all of God's people say,